Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of the Noisecast, a show about episode 33 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and more. On tonight's show, we got Gonzo Ryder.
Yeah. What the fuck did you just say?
Penguin.
Yeah, did you totally just start your sentence back over in the middle of your sentence?
And veto number 9.
A show about episode 33 of the Noisecast.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened.
Oh, and that was the show on episode 33.
See, I thought there was, we're not there was some kind of glitch. Today.
We're just going to talk about the show we were going to have.
A time-traveling dyslexia or something. Well, we have a very short topic list that's actually a very long topic list. That makes absolutely no sense, but...
it's deceptive.
It is. The first topic on tonight's topic list is actually Apple's WWDC conference that happened on Monday. And as you know, Worldwide Developer Conference encompassed the next version of OS X, OS X Lion. It encompassed the next version of iOS, iOS 5. And it encompassed the new fancy cloud service from Apple called iCloud. So let's beat this really quick down the list. We'll start off with Mac OS X Lion, which hasn't gotten as much attention as iCloud, but as iOS and iCloud combined, but it's still pretty relevant. So first impressions on what was announced with OS X Lion.
Honestly, like, I know I should be more interested in it, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to what was going on with Lion. Like, I don't know. What's the new stuff coming out, really? I know it's still $30 to upgrade, so that's cool, I guess.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, a lot of the new stuff, multi-touch gestures, who gives a shit?
Oh, like, yeah, I heard about that because, and I didn't give a crap. Because my MacBook doesn't support multi-touch gestures, so I was like, I don't
Well, you're going to have to probably upgrade. They're probably going to say, no Lion for you, unless you get a new Mac.
I think it'll probably support all the Intel-based Macs that are out, but...
that's why they're selling that little extra touchpad accessory that you could,
that dumbass piece of shit.
In case you really want to swipe five fingers at the side to make, something happen.
Why wouldn't you want that? It's shiny and brushed aluminum. It has an Apple logo on it.
Now, here's something in this list that really kind of blows my mind. Full screen apps? Like, is this something new?
It's called a program.
I don't like to use things that aren't full screen.
Go full screen already. Maybe I was wrong. I don't use many apps from the Mac App Store. Kind of underwhelmed,
but what they mean if because I sat through all 118 minutes of that garbage, there's no scroll bars on the side, there's no little menu up the top. Like, go into your web browser and hit F11, and then imagine that there's no scroll bar on the side.
How's that new?
That's your full screen app.
That shouldn't be a new feature.
Yeah, that seemed.
Yeah, and they said, now, if you take the cursor all the way up to the top, you'll see how the menu pops down from the top. You move your mouse away, and it goes away. Motherfucker, been doing it for years. It's called F11.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure their own shit has been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, but instead of having a hardware button for it and a lot of people not knowing about it, there's a nifty little button in... embedded in the software, it puts it in every one of the windows up in the top right hand corner where you click that and it'll go full screen.
You know what would be more of interest to me? Is it the opposite of that? If they brought back fucking windshade mode, like when you could minimize apps just into that tiny little bar across the top. So, like, you still saw the window, but it took up very little space instead of the way it does it now. I miss that.
Well, they have a thing. I forget exactly what they call it, but you can have the multiple desktops thing. I think the way you do it is you take five fingers and do a pinch, like a making a fist mode, and it zooms out so that you can see all of your little web pages, and it takes all of the windows that are open in your current space, and it organizes them across it, like it tiles them across the window so that you can see everything.
It's called mission control.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's basically just a combination of expose or expose and spaces, isn't it?
It's until they put the accent mark, it's expose.
Yeah, it's expose. Expose seems douchey, so I just call it expose.
I think the big things, I mean, we're nitpicking the little stuff about OS X line, but I think the big thing about it, which I was like, wow, this was a much needed feature, because let's face it, it's the autosave and then versions, where pretty much every action you do on your Mac, any program you have open, anything like that, it saves like automatically. So even if you're in the middle of typing a sentence and something crashes, nothing, doesn't matter what you were doing, it'll automatically load up exactly the way you had it. And then you could also choose to backpedal in versions if you want to. And it doesn't matter if it's Word or if it's, you know, Firefox or whatever it is.
Thumbs up for that. That is a quality feature. And it should have got more press time, because that's badass.
Yeah, I know sometimes, like, I'll actually compose documents in, like, Gmail or something, just because I know it'll autosave every, you know, like, 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, here's a little experience from my own life, a time that I wish I would have had something like this. A couple weeks ago, I was...
I already remember.
You remember this?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of Excel documents. Now, what I do, I'm a software tester. I'm testing the ballistic computational capabilities of the next version of our software. That's not really important. What's important is I'm taking single lines out of one Excel, or actually out of dozens of Excel documents, placing them in a different Excel document and saving that. Now, for some reason, I have an affinity for keyboard shortcuts. Other people hate it. I love it. I think it speeds everything up. So what I'm doing is I'm hitting Control W to close the one on my left monitor, and then, you know, opening a new one. Hit Control N, open up another one, blah, blah, blah. Well, silly me, I had the cursor on the right monitor, hit Control W, no, I don't want to save, and then realized a split second too late, fuck me, that was the wrong one. I wasted an entire day of work in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's a real shithole right there.
So that would have been amazing for me to have, you know, a few weeks ago.
What's really nice about versions is that if, like I said, it saves, like, you know, recent, you know, a list of recent stuff, how they were. And if you want to, you could actually copy and paste and sort of take parts of an older version and put it into a different version and stuff like that. So it's, you know, you can mix and match and stuff to get stuff back if you want to.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too. Like, if you wanted to go back to a previous version, you're like, okay, everything I've done for the last 3 days is just turning into a giant pile of shit. You can go back to something that, you know, that you haven't even seen. Or if you liked, like, one little snippet that you got rid of, you can say, okay, well, I really did like that. I'm going to bring that over into the new one. That's great. I never really thought that I would be praising an Apple product, but seriously, that's kind of awesome.
What's nice about it, you know, you have to use it with Time Machine. You can't just have Time Machine disabled and expect this to work. But it doesn't back up your entire hard drive every second. What it does is it only backs up revisions. So I'm not quite sure what the technology behind it is, but I'm guessing maybe like XML or something like that, where they just sort of cross-reference each version, and like Wikipedia sort of thing, where they only show you what the different changes are.
Yeah.
Instead of saving a single document over and over and over again. So,
and yeah. Is this just apply to certain programs like Pages or something, or will it work on any file creating program you have?
It is for everything, from what I've read. It's not that's certain things.
Yeah, it says in their press stuff, it says that it works for everything. They only showed it with Pages just because of all the things that they were able to do with it, and because, sadly, they gave it a limited amount of screen time, but they say that it works with everything.
Pretty neat.
I'm a fan.
Now, the other big thing about Lion, which sort of involves, you know, the whole full screen app thing that you guys were bantering about, but we actually see, we talked about Windows 8, the preview, last week, about how they took the Windows Phone 7 UI and put it over Windows 7 to give you Windows 8. Apple is sort of doing the opposite here. It's taking, instead of taking iOS and putting it over OS X, it's sort of taking iOS and putting it right under OS X. So pretty much they got your whole iOS feel underneath your OS X. So you'll be able to, your launch pad and your apps and all that stuff, you're pretty much running like an iPad underneath your operating system. Which do you think is a better approach to the whole rating or bringing your mobile and your desktop software together? Would the Microsoft version work better? Is it a better approach, or is the Apple version a better approach?
Am I the only one that's irritated every time Steven says OS X?
Well, what else? It's an OS and an X.
It's OS 10, actually.
10.
Whatever. OS 10.
But on the plus side, OS X sounds kind of like, if you slur it together, it sounds like O sex. So it's,
yeah. Okay, so
I don't remember what your question was. I got distracted.
just going by your, you know, quick little synopsis of it, it seems to me like I would prefer the Apple way of doing it, because I would rather, if I'm at my desktop machine, I'd rather be staring at my desktop interface by default, and if I want to go to the kind of mobile control looking thing, switch to it, as opposed to automatically being greeted with the mobile kind of view.
Yeah, for once I kind of like Apple. I mean, I don't really want to mix my mobile and my desktop computing, because they're two different tools for me. And yeah, me all too. I really want them to be able to do is sync together. I don't give a shit about controlling stuff with one or the other.
Yeah,
I just want them to work together, to be honest.
Away, I would do that one.
Yeah, I'm with these two. A little bit of both. I prefer Apple's way of doing it, just because if you're saying, well, if you had to choose, yes, I would say Apple's way is better. But I'm also with Gonzo, because there's really no need to mix the two. Keep the mobile over here, keep the desktop over here, and just make them sync. That's all they need to do.
All right. Well, Lion will be available in July, and what's different about it, it is available straight from the Mac App Store. Like you guys said, for $30. So you do need Snow Leopard to upgrade to Lion. So if you don't have Snow Leopard, you should go out and get it for an extra $30 if you really want Lion.
Yeah, didn't they say the same thing about Snow Leopard and Leopard, though? Like, they were saying, yeah, oh, you need Leopard, install it, but people were just installing it top of Tiger or something?
I went from Tiger to Leopard, and I had to do a fresh, clean install. It wouldn't let me. I had to do a full backup and then a fresh install.
Well, gotcha. With this, you say it's going to be available from the Mac App Store, but we have to make sure that everyone understands it will only be available from the Mac App Store. You won't be able to go into your local Apple store and buy a disc, because they're not putting out physical media for this thing at all.
That strikes me as odd, to be honest. Like, I can see arguments on both sides of not wanting physical media. Is just easier to do it from the App Store, but at the same time, some people want it. So I don't know. I guess Apple kind of has a way of forcing change down your throat. Like, well, this is how we're doing it, like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I would, when I upgraded from Vista to 7, I would not want to have done a digital download for that.
No, I mean, yeah, if you're doing Vista to 7, it's better to do a fresh install anyway.
Oh, yeah. True. It's always better to do a fresh install with anything.
Oh, and something I suppose we should point out real quick, too, is the $30 gets you, what, I think it's like 5 installs. So, as opposed to their previous with Snow Leopard, where you had the single license version and then the multiple license version, that was like, what, $50 or something like that? But they were actually the exact same thing.
Yeah. You know.
So all right. Now they're just like, well, yeah, okay, you can install multiple times.
All right, next up in Worldwide Developer Conference was iOS 5, which got a lot of flack from, you know, all the Apple haters out there, I guess, for pretty much being everything stuff people are Android and Windows Phone 7 are already doing. They're just bringing it to the Apple devices.
You know, I don't really care if, like, the other two platforms were already doing it. I'm just glad that I can do it now, too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, everyone's going to be taking everything. I'm really surprised that it took Apple this long to start doing some of this stuff. Because
yeah.
all the OSs for mobile are all pretty much the same. It's all about what you want. You know, do you like, they're all apples, whether they're Granny Smith or Red Delicious or whatever. They're all the same, it's what do you like. But finally, iOS has kind of gotten up there where they need to be.
Yeah, the biggest thing was the notifications, because notifications
were
terrible.
God, those suck ass.
And now they're actually a lot better. I don't know if they're perfect necessarily, but they're just so much better than what they used to be.
Now, you've been playing around with iOS 5, right, Ben?
Yes, I actually got, I was able to get the developer beta, and it's pretty good, actually. It is a beta, so it's kind of buggy. One of the strangest bugs I've had so far is one of my apps refuses to uninstall. I'll uninstall it, and then a couple hours later, oh, look, it's back. Doesn't want to leave.
But I'm guessing that's probably because of the cloud syncing that's going on.
No, I actually turned that off for another reason, another buggy part of the OS, which I hope is addressed in the final release. I'm pretty sure it will be. But battery life on iOS 5 right now is atrocious. I was using my phone yesterday. I was out and about for about 3 hours, and I was down to 30%. That's ridiculous. So
you have the iPhone 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I saw them talking about how it would constantly be syncing to the cloud, my very first thought was, wow, that is going to fuck over your battery life real quick. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. A lot of these cloud features look real cool, but I don't want to use them because they're going to kill my battery.
Yeah,
like, I try not to use push notifications just because they will kill. And I guess we should talk about what those cloud features are real quick. But you can basically sync your device to the cloud and just re-download it from there instead of to your local machine.
Now, I know for Android and stuff, it lets you choose a time interval for syncing. Like if you want it to sync every half hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 12 hours, once a day, etc. Is there an option for that in iOS 5?
As far as I can tell, I believe it just said it backs up. If you have it set to do that, it'll just back up once a day. I don't know if you can set it to what time you want that to happen or customize that at all, but I think it just goes once a day.
Okay, gotcha.
And then as far as other new features for iOS 5 that I can just think of off the top of my head, one really nice one is being able to launch the camera right from the home screen. That's a big time saver. Like, not a big deal, but you'd be surprised like how convenient it is. And also being able to take pictures with the shutter button or with the volume button, that helps a lot. And I find it helps me take, sometimes I'm afraid of dropping my phone when I'm taking a picture, but now I can have kind of a better grip around the whole device instead of trying to just grab the edge.
And not only that, it's more of a natural feel. because you can just push the button. Even though it is on the bottom, you have a grip on your phone instead of trying to touch it. And when you tap the screen, as opposed to just squeezing the phone, I found that almost always it would screw up and the phone would jostle and it'd take, you know, some blurry, fuzzy picture. Even the best pictures were, you know, kind of off because of that.
Yeah, which actually a quick tip for, I don't know if it translates to other OSs and their camera apps, but something with iOS that I found is you can kind of hold down the shutter button and it'll take the picture when you release it. So it kind of helps with that jostling if you hold it down and then steady your shot and then release your thumb. So you can try that on your own camera, see if it works.
My phone has a camera button.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, even, everyone, even use my, that software my, button just
from my reason. From the blast from the past, BlackBerry has a photo button.
Yeah, my Droid X with its real shutter and real shitty picture taking.
Yeah, why do the droids have such terrible? Oh my god! Really? Anyway,
go on.
Well, get a real fucking camera if you want to take a picture, man.
No, that's the
problem solved right there.
You know, the picture on the Droid 2 quality is just atrocious. It's worse than the iPhone 3G that I had.
I mean, it's great when you're out in natural light, but under artificial light or using the flash,
oh yeah,
abysmal. May as well not even take a picture. Give a box of crayons to a 3-year-old and say, hey, draw a picture of that thing right there, and you'll get about the same quality.
I'd rather look at that, to be frank. Hey, man, right. 3-year-olds draw great pictures.
Let's see. Another feature of iOS 5, too, I think probably one of the last big ones, unless I'm forgetting one, was iMessage, which basically integrates into your...
It's basically BBM.
Yeah, it's basically BBM. But what's nice, at least on the phone, since the phone already had, you know, text messages, it integrates seamlessly into that. And when you message another iOS user, it'll automatically figure out that they're another iOS user and send it as an iMessage instead of a text message.
Do you know, you locate another iOS user? Because I know on BlackBerry it does it by a PIN number.
As I can tell, it's just automatic. Like it's able to figure it out through the network. Because in playing around with it a little bit, I found out as I'm trying to message certain users, it'll in the little box it'll say like text message or something, and then when you tap in there and start typing, that'll go away. But when I tried to like send a text message to my email address, which is also my Apple ID, it figured that out, that, and it switched to iMessage. So it was telling me I was going to send an iMessage. When I went to send a text message to my developer friend who got me in, it said iMessage in that little box. So I think it just figures it out on its own.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I know that when I've been talking to a buddy of mine using the Gmail or the GChat, when he switches from his computer at work to his iPad to his Mac at home, it'll show me in the Google chat which version of the client he's using. So there's something going across the network that's letting the system itself know. It just doesn't show you.
Okay.
And the nice thing is if you have multiple devices, it'll pull that conversation into all of them. So say you have an iPad and a phone, you're talking to your buddy, and then you switch to your iPad, those messages that you made while you're on your phone are now on the iPad as well, which I can't really test firsthand because I only have an iPhone, but that's how it's supposed to work.
See, what I was surprised about is that Apple didn't take this a step further, and like they've done with FaceTime, and make it cross-platform so it works on any app device, not just iOS. Because it seems to me, I mean, that the basic architecture for this is already there. To be able to send somebody from your iPhone straight to somebody else's desktop and vice versa, that would make it truly a big middle finger to BlackBerry and a big gap for the industry, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of like iChat integration with it, which I'm surprised it's not there already. Maybe they're just still working on rolling that out. But yeah, so you could also chat with desktop users.
Yeah, and I from think one thing they really were talking about in the to the next level.
Yeah, one thing they were talking about in their press conference was that they're kind of demoting, I forget the exact words, but like demoting the desktop on par with the mobile devices.
Yeah.
So the and they showed stuff syncing all across all of them. So I imagine that's got to be in their goals somewhere. They just haven't kind of rolled it out
haven't
yet.
Haven't got there yet.
Just, I mean, FaceTime, if I remember correctly, there wasn't a FaceTime app on the on OS X right away. It came later. So
yeah,
probably we'll see iMessage on the desktop eventually, if not just on chat.
It's funny that you bring up that they said that they're demoting the desktop experience, which they said the desktop experience, I think they said it's becoming a device instead of an actual central experience. It's yeah, sort of an awkward it's an awkward foreshadowing that you already see with Lion, iOS already creeping in underneath the skin of Lion. It just makes you wonder what, you know, OS 11 is going to be, if it's even going to be a desktop experience, or would it be just streamlined across all devices?
Well, I mean, hopefully they don't go too far with it, because I'm always going to need a desktop experience in my life. I'm not going to be able to fully replace that with the mobile philosophy. So, but I don't know. It remains to be seen. It's just speculation at this point.
Did you remember The Onion when they did an exclusive on the new Apple laptop, which was just a screen and a huge touch wheel?
Yeah, the one button yes. laptop or something.
A friend of mine showed me that, and he has to deal with my rantings about Apple more often than anyone. So he was just sitting there waiting for the part where the guy says, "I'll buy anything that's shiny and has an Apple logo on it." As soon as he said that, I looked at him and he was dying. He was like, "Yes, I knew you were going to make that face."
Well, it's similar to the one they made about the Sony piece of shit.
Oh yeah, the Sony fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, it's like, I'll buy anything from Sony. And there are people like that. And I think that that's being a dumb consumer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like fanboys either way, but I think Sony fanboys are worse than Apple fanboys, because, like, at least in my experience, at least my Apple stuff tends to work better. Yes. The Sony shit I've had just fucking sucks.
At least Apple fanboys aren't defending something that they know is going to fuck them in the ass later.
Oh, man. It always comes back to Sony just dropping the ball.
Right.
They really dropped the soap, I gotta say.
Okay. Twitter was chosen over Facebook to be the social media of choice to be deeply integrated into iOS, by the way. It comes as a shocker that Apple chose Twitter over Facebook.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, they said it's like deeply integrated, but unless I'm missing something, as far as I can tell, the only real OS level integration for Twitter is tweeting your photos from the photo app.
Hey, that's deep.
I mean, it's convenient, but it's not like mind-blowing. As far as I can tell, you still need a Twitter client to like read your feed and post yeah. regular updates. So
well, it doesn't come as part of the iOS 5 install?
I don't think so, because when I installed iOS 5, it was just on top of my pre-existing
right, save. And you already
yeah, had a Twitter app. So
yeah.
I don't think it comes pre-installed, though.
I mean, I can see why they chose Twitter over Facebook, because Twitter is really more of a mobile service. You know, they have Facebook Mobile, and people Facebook on the go all the time. But Twitter was designed to be something that's always mobile and always there all the time. And Facebook was originally a desktop website.
True.
So I can see why they went with Twitter over Facebook.
Well, the biggest thing is that it doesn't matter what platform you're on, the Facebook app fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
On Android.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy.
It sucks on iOS too.
On BlackBerry. It sucks on iOS. It sucks everywhere.
I mean, even on my, the experience on my old iPhone was 10 times more complete and satisfactory than it was, than it is on my Android.
I mean, there are different levels of suckage here, but I mean, none of them are great.
I mean, at the very basic level, I cannot like a comment on a picture or whatever on Android, whereas I can do that on iOS. I mean, that's the most basic thing.
I can't tell you how many times I get a Facebook notification sent to my phone, and I look at it, and then I click to go read the whole thing, and it says, sorry, this message can't be viewed at this time. But then I get on my desktop, and bam, right there it is.
Yeah, the Android app is really bad about that too. Or I'll be getting notifications from shit that happened 2 days ago. Motherfucker, no, that's not there. That happened a long time ago. I've already checked this like 3 times.
All right, back on topic real quick. Another thing about iOS 5, we'll just bang through this right now. You could no longer need to connect to your desktop to sync it. Over the air syncing via Wi-Fi. As well as the updates, they're going to be over the air as well, similar to Android. If you're thinking you're going to be downloading 300 megabytes worth of updates, think again, they're only pushing out changes, not a full update over the air.
I'm ecstatic about that because I hate downloading iOS updates because they're always the last one was like over 600 megabytes. For a very iterative update, like the last two, in fact, and then bullshit. I hate that so much. So I'm glad that they've done this. Even if it wasn't over the air updates, and they just downloaded the small incremental patch to your desktop, that would be a huge step forward. But over the air is good too.
All right, and some other things about iOS. You know, you get your newsstand where you get offline syncing of magazines if you're into that. Safari Reader, which is pretty much Instagram built in, or not Instagram, Instapaper, sorry, too many Instas in iOS.
That's actually really cool too, just real quick. I've used that. And yeah, it's built in. Also, there's, even if you don't use the like read it later kind of functionality on a lot of different kind of websites, you can activate just reader mode. It kind of pulls away all the clutter, changes the typeface, something more readable. And it's just a nice experience.
Takes the text from multiple pages, puts them all in one single scrolling thing.
I think I was reading that as Apple announced that, the guy who develops Instapaper, the first thing he tweeted was shit.
Yeah, I would too if I was him.
And yeah, enhanced mail, reminders if you're looking for something to be reminded about, and then Game Center is more Xbox Live sort of ish.
The only real difference I notice is that you can put your picture on there. Oh, and it also suggests friends to you, I guess, based on common games. But I don't want to play games with random ass strangers. I'd rather play games with people I actually know. But the people I actually know don't buy the same fucking games as me, so okay, whatever.
It's a real catch 22.
But yeah. They have more users than Xbox Live.
Yeah, it's only because like every single person with an iOS device, you like, has an account basically by default.
All right, that's,
you know, I don't think I ever activated mine, even when I had iOS. I never even turned on the Game Center.
Well, that's okay. No one wants to play games with you anyway.
This is true.
Let's finish off the Apple discussion. iCloud, real quick. We touched upon it with Ben talking about it. Pretty much everything you could expect, cloud syncing service. Pretty much similar to your Google, similar to your Windows Live experience, contacts, calendar, etc. But now you could sync your apps and your photos and your music and stuff like that on the cloud.
Oh, and don't forget, it's free now too.
Woo!
Yes, no more $99 a year
for something that doesn't work.
But what's cool about it, though, is for an extra $25 a year, you can iTunes will sort of be a matchmaker on the cloud. So it'll scan your music and sort of stream them from the cloud to your device if you have them in iTunes.
Yeah, that seems really cool. Like, instead of doing it the Amazon, Google way of you uploading your own tracks, it just kind of scans your library and sees, okay, you got this, you got this, you got this. All right, now you can play our copy of it since you already have it. Saves you a lot of uploading time. And also, when you pay that $25, if you have like a shitty quality version of it, they'll download a better quality to your machine. And as far as like what happens when you stop paying for the service, they've said it's DRM free, so I'm assuming you get to keep it forever. So that seems really cool.
Unless now, you throw in DRM after you quit paying for it.
I remember them saying that they were going, that the matches were going to be 256K lossless files, but I don't remember the part where they said that they were going to put that same file on your machine. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I might have missed that.
But yeah, I'm the way I fairly confident. I remember hearing it in the release and then reading about it several places after. It'll replace that your file, your lesser quality file, with their better one.
But it's not going to be an MP3. It's going to be an AAC format.
Right.
But the only downside I see with this is if you have music that isn't on the iTunes store, then that music won't work because we're sort of Google and Amazon have the upper hand. It doesn't matter what song.
No, in that case, though, it does upload it.
Exactly. If they don't have it, you can do the Google way. You can just upload it yourself.
That was one of the things that that Steve touched on. He said, if it's not one of the 18 bazillion songs we have, we'll go ahead and upload it for you.
Oh, so I missed that in my bed.
Yeah, you'll still have your files if you have, like, your buddy's garage band made one song that you actually liked and you have that in your iTunes.
Ron Durage.
obviously, it's not going to be on the iTunes store. But they'll recognize that. They'll say, hey, we don't have this. Shoop, and it'll be up in your little iCloud.
So, Woodsy Band lovers, rejoice.
And then I think you get 5 gigabytes of iCloud storage for free, and then you can buy more, but pricing, I don't think is
right. Right, but that 5 gigabytes doesn't include any of your music. It doesn't include any of your emails or stuff. None of your it's only for documents, I think.
Oh, okay.
Got and it. Everyone make tons of documents on their phone.
Well, I think it also applies to your. I think it also applies to your desktop too, because like how they're saying the desktop is now a device.
Your desktop, your iPad, or your iPhone. Anything you create goes into your cloud storage.
All right. Any final thoughts on Worldwide Developer Conference before we move on?
No, I'm done.
All right. Whew, we managed to get through that. Wow.
So now on to the same thing, but with 3 major players.
I think E3 is a lot more exciting than the Worldwide Developer Conference.
Not this year.
Oh, yeah. Unless you really love Kinect.
Well, I mean, there's some really dumb shit that happened.
Okay, should we do this in chronological order, or should we do this with the big news first?
We could just go by each company.
Well, that's what I mean.
Microsoft.
Just do whatever you want.
Okay. The live chat people are saying big news first! !!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!!! Wii U.
What the fuck?
Here comes Nintendo ambulance.
Oh, man.
Nintendo announced its successor to the widely popular Nintendo Wii, the Wii U, at E3.
Can I just come out and say that's the worst fucking name ever?
Yeah, I mean, about the Wii. Wii was the worst name ever, and then they just put a U.
They found a way to make it worse.
I mean, come on. I'm sorry, but it's just a terrible name.
But, I mean, Nintendo's been making horrible names on their consoles for a while now. I think GameCube wasn't too bad, I guess. It was a cube that played games, so...
No, I think the Wii was the first one. I mean, there was GameCube, there was NES, Nintendo 64.
Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64.
Yeah, those
GameCube. 64 was a pretty solid name, because it was 64 bits.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Wii was the first one because it was the only one that was absolutely ridiculous. The rest of them were just several different iterations of Nintendo and then a cube that plays games.
So remember the original Wii commercials? Like, Wii wants to play. So are the new commercials going to be, Wii wants to play with you?
You know, that might be get me a little bit more excited about the Wii U.
I think they should just call it the Us, frankly.
The Wii Us?
The Wii, yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
The Wii? I mean,
it'd be just as ridiculous of a name, but at least it's a word.
Okay, so enough bantering about the name. The console itself, it, well, not sure how to even describe this thing. It's a console that's sort of two places at once. Your controller is like a tablet sort of thing with physical controls, with a screen in the middle, so you could play a game on your TV screen and have your inventory, for example, in your hands. And then if, you know, I think in like the promotional video, they showed some like annoying mother that came in and turned her show on, and the gamer was all sad, so he just pressed the button and the game sort of started to bring inside his controller.
I mean, that was the only kind of cool thing I saw in the feature. Like, the commercial I saw is some guy said, hey, it's time to watch baseball. And he's like, well, I'm playing Mario. So he just kept playing Mario on the little handheld, and that's kind of a neat feature. But most of the other features of that damn controller, I'm just like, really?
It's basically the DS as applied to a console. Like, you have your main screen, and then you have your little screen with your menus and shit.
Yeah, well, if I can play games on the little handheld thing, then what the fuck do I need the big console for?
So, okay, yeah, so you can actually play the whole game on the controller? You don't technically need a TV?
That's what it sounded like when they were talking about it. I mean, we didn't get the full details and all the technical specifics about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the stuff that they were showing wasn't actual footage from the Wii U. It was actually footage from the PS3 and Xbox versions of the games.
Yeah, that's kind of.
And the place, their screenshot where they were using Fraps to record like Battlefield or whatever.
Right, and to be honest with you, I think it's a much needed concept, because how many times, I mean, I think I've said it on, I may have said it on this podcast before, but how many times have I wanted to be playing a game on my phone and then get home, you know, for whatever I'm doing, and then open up my console and just sort of press a button and just play it on the console where I left off, you know?
Yeah, but that thing, that controller is not a phone. That is a fucking tablet. You got a 5-inch screen and controls. That is not. You are not going to be carrying that thing around with you,
and the
unless
you got.
And you're still wearing
that,
JNCOs.
The controls on that thing look atrocious. I don't want my joysticks above the D-pad and the buttons, because my fat fucking hand is going to be pushing all kinds of buttons when I'm trying to use the joysticks. Anyone else see that potential problem there?
I see ergonomics being a problem, because you're gripping something that isn't like the Xbox or the PS3 controller, where they're sort of having a more natural feel for your hand.
Well, it's the same thing with the classic controller on the Wii. It's not very ergonomic. It's pretty much flat, like the Super Nintendo controller.
They threw ergonomics out the window after the 64 controller. GameCube controller, what the fuck?
I didn't really have a problem with the controller.
I didn't like the GameCube controller for anything.
It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't the Nintendo 64 controller.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, with the Wii U, they're going to be bringing it sort of up to speed graphics-wise. It's not really going toe-to-toe with the PS3 or the Xbox in terms of power and capabilities. I mean, it is going to be supporting HD. It's not going to be supporting Blu-ray or anything like that. It's still going to be running Nintendo's proprietary discs. The Wii controller will be backwards compatible with the Wii U, so if you have a Wii, fear not, your Wii controller will still work.
Because you can only use one of the other controllers with the system.
Really?
Yeah, you can't have multiple screen controllers with the system, from what I heard.
Oh, interesting.
And there have also been the reports, and you can't see my finger quotes, but there have been reports that the processor, both the GPU and the CPU, are 3 years old as of right now. So they're slapping old technology in their shit already.
Well, I mean, the thing is, do you ever expect the bleeding edge of hardware from a Nintendo product?
No. And yeah, that's why, that's what they're doing to keep it inexpensive. But you're putting a touchscreen, a camera, motion sensors, and all kinds of goofy shit in this gigantic fucking controller. You could at least give me a goddamn processor that's older than my kid.
Well, I mean, as long as it runs smoothly, if it brings costs down, I'm all for it. Because the first thing I thought when I saw this thing was, that is going to be expensive as shit.
But at the same token, you don't really need like a quad-core i7 super mega processor in this thing if the games themselves are not going to be that graphic intensive.
Right, but we don't know what the games are going to look like. Now, judging from Nintendo's past, they're probably not going to be very graphically intensive.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed in that cinematic they showed from the Zelda game. Because maybe it was a screenshot that I was looking at, but some of the edges looked kind of pixelated and not what I would expect.
Were you looking at a video or a still?
It was a still.
Okay, because see, the thing is, stills from, it seems a lot of Nintendo games that I look at, so the stills look like shit, but in motion they look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the still, it had like Link's hair looked kind of fuzzy around the edges, and you know, I mean, it was a big still. It was like 4,000 by like 3,000 pixels.
Pickles?
Pickles,
that's a lot,
yes,
of pickles.
Dill.
That's a shit ton of relish right there.
It just didn't look like that the polygons were as sharp as they could have been.
See, this is what's confusing me about the Wii U, because with the Wii, it didn't matter if the quality was shitty, because the focus of the Wii wasn't on the player. It was on the player, but it was sort of like the player as in being in a group of people. Like, you had more fun watching your friend be a jackass in Wii Golf than you did watching the screen. The focus was on you being a dumbass in front of your friends. But yeah, like with the Wii U, it's the concept isn't there anymore. I mean, they went from being a social gaming platform to sort of doing a complete 180 and saying, well, this is a focus on you being able to take it anywhere you want to, this and that. That social aspect of watching your friends become idiots in front of you, not really quite there anymore.
I mean, the only people that I know that play their Wii pretty regularly is when we get drunk, and we used to play the Wii. And I'm not allowed to play the Wii anymore when I get drunk, so we kind of quit doing that.
Did you break something or someone?
No, I think it's rather loud and competitive and shouted people.
I see.
So I'm not allowed to play Drunken Wii anymore.
It's interesting how this thing will play out. People said bad things about the Wii when it first, you know, launched. People were like, oh, stupid name, and who the fuck wants to sit? Gamers don't like getting up and moving around. We're lazy and we want to eat potato chips.
Yeah, I want to sit on my ass. I don't like this, even with the Kinect and all that stuff, the Move. I want to sit on my ass and play video games. I don't want to stand up and move around and shake my ass and act a fool.
Well, we saw what happened We saw what happened up until last year. Wii was pretty much, you know, handing Xboxes and PlayStation's ass to itself.
That's why I'll be sticking with computer gaming, because I can't get up and play. I can only sit down.
The next thing about Nintendo was the 3DS, the announcements for the new games and stuff like that, and DSiWare, etc. Seemed like they're taking a lot of N64 games, sort of polishing up a little bit and re-releasing them on the 3DS.
So basically Nintendo's MO for the last 15 years.
You know, I could be cynical about that, but I fucking love those games, so yeah. I want to play them again in 3D.
The games of the 64 were badass.
Yeah, but what about people like me who still have all of that shit?
Yeah, I got it for all the time.
What the fuck is there for me?
This was in it for you. Now you can play it on the toilet.
Instead of having to roll a big card in.
Exactly. Haven't you always wanted to play Star Fox 64 while taking a dump? Tell me, haven't you?
He usually just shits his pants.
And now you don't have to.
Saves up on the cleanup.
Or Ocarina of Time, same thing. You just want to play it on the John. Now you can. Nintendo, 3DS, they should hire me. God damn.
Speaking of being able to play games you love on the John, Sony, with its Sony Vita or Vita, I don't remember.
You know, I think it's Vita, but yeah, going back to horrible names, Vita is pretty bad.
It means life, doesn't it?
Still, it means a shitty name.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I only speak English. The only word that means life is life.
It's like the female Vito.
I mean, I thought the NGP was a stupid name, but I think I'd rather have NGP versus Vita.
But yeah, that was, you know, we saw the Uncharted demo, and we saw, you know, pretty much all the stuff that we expected out of it, I guess, right?
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, I've never really been I'm not going to say a fan, because that would insinuate I don't like them. I've never really been a follower of the PlayStation handhelds, so I guess just the PSP. It didn't really have any drawing power for me. Yeah, like, it had impressive-looking games, and, like, it had technical prowess, but nothing really about it sucked me in. Like,
didn't I didn't have the sexual prowess?
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to put my penis in it.
You know,
are you saying you want to put your penis into the DS?
Hey, it clamshells for a reason.
My PSP to this day has played more old console emulators than anything else. That's the whole reason I own the damn thing. You know how many PSP games I own? Like, maybe 4 or 5. And I don't even play those. It's kind of sad.
I'm actually excited about the Vita. It just seems like honestly, it's the closest thing that exists to a console in your hands, in my opinion, in terms of power, in terms of graphic, in terms of capabilities.
Yeah, but that's what we were saying back in, 2004 for the PSP-1, and it had all this potential, and it just didn't go anywhere.
I think the potential for the original PSP was it was sort of derailed because of the stupid shit Sony was doing. It was trying to make everything. Because
Sony's not doing stupid shit anymore.
Maybe it's on really the ball now. It sells out.
It's the original stupid shit of, you know, making everything proprietary, making the, what are those, MDRs, UMDs.
Okay, let's go over that real quick. I didn't pay as much attention to Sony during E3. So what kind of media is the Vita supposed to be using? If any media, or do you just download it from the cloud? I was going to say from the sky.
You hold it up.
Hold on. I know
it
starts.
Is it discs or cartridges?
I know it's $250. And then you get the 3G version for, I think, $50 more.
And speaking of the 3G version, isn't it through AT&T? Which, we all love AT&T.
Yeah, it is through AT&T.
It just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
I'm guessing downloads. I think Inosun is saying the same thing in the chat. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some sort of like mini disc or something that goes in it for people that don't want to download.
Yeah, because they don't want to have to give Sony their credit card information and whatnot.
Yeah, dear Sony, get fucked. Sincerely, this guy.
So, but, yeah, I mean, and the Vita might look good on paper, but I still don't have, like, hopes for it. It's because, to me, it sounds exactly the same conversation we were having 6 years ago for the first PSP. So, if it proves me wrong, it proves me wrong. And if it's cool, all right, then I was wrong. But until that happens, I'm standing by my word.
All right, well, what about this being cool from Sony? The new TV that they're, the 24-inch 3D HDTV, that pretty much allows you to do true split-screen gaming with your 3D glasses. You and your buddy just sort of pop these things on, look at the same screen, and you see your version, whereas your buddy sees the other one, without having to deal with the whole actual split-screen madness.
That's cool for two people. Everyone else in the room without the glasses are going to throw up on themselves.
Yep. Oh, also, it is for people cool like me,
yeah.
For people like me that can't see 3D, don't give a shit.
Well, okay, It might work for you because I don't think it's working off 3D. It's using the same type of mechanisms that makes the 3D work, but it's not actually doing 3D. It's just using like shuttering. So you're only seeing certain pixels, and they're only seeing certain pixels. So I think it should still work for you. But
I have an astigmatism, so one eye works harder than the other eye. So my depth perception is a little bit off. I mean, I've gotten used to it in the last 30 years, so I can function perfectly well in society. But every 3D technology that I've tried, like the NVIDIA 3D, doesn't work. It just makes my eyes hurt. The 3DS just makes my eyes hurt.
Okay.
And going to IMAX 3D, it doesn't fucking do anything.
Okay, tell me this. When you watch a 3D movie with the passive lenses, does it just make it not 3D, or can you still see like two images kind of overlaid on top of each other?
No, I mean I see a regular picture. And when I went to see Tron 3D, I could tell when the 3D parts were up, because the whole movie isn't in 3D, it's just certain parts.
Yeah.
I could tell when the 3D was up because my eyes would start to hurt. It didn't look any different to me, but my eyes and my brain were seeing it, and it was causing headaches. As soon as the 3D was gone, it would go away.
Okay, so if I understand the way the technology works, which I probably don't because I'm an idiot, but if I understand the way it's supposed to work, then it seems like it should display properly for you, but it probably will give you a killer headache.
Yeah. Yeah, like when I went to see Tron, I could see everything was coming through fine. The picture was perfect, you know, no fuzziness, but it would give me screaming headaches for the, you know, 2-3 minutes that the 3D was up, which probably made me hate it a lot more than I would have otherwise.
Well, that's disappointing, because I really enjoyed Tron.
It was a good movie, but I couldn't even watch a good portion of it because I had to just look away. I could hear what was going on. I had no idea what the pictures were doing.
Back to the split screen thing real quick, though. I know we love to ramble here. I suppose the more overlying question is, do you guys even really play split screen multiplayer much anymore? Or is it mostly just over the internet?
No.
So it seems almost like, don't get me wrong, it sounds like a cool thing. Like, I like the idea. It's just, I don't see it being particularly
a lot of. I mean, split screen gaming was really a 90s thing.
Right, because
in my opinion,
there was no high speed internet proliferation like there is today.
And even now, when I'm with my friends, when we're playing video games, it's either something where it's single player and we just swap off, or it's something like fucking Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, where the split screen isn't necessary. Also, 24 inches? What the fuck am I going to do with that? I've tried playing Borderlands.
Taken out of context very easily.
Hey, wait a minute. No, I've tried playing Borderlands split screen on a 52 inch, and that's almost. It feels like you don't have enough screen, you know, because it's all mushed. Now, for driving games, it's okay because you do the over under. And you still get the wide view, but the side-by-side split screen is just...
Oh, the side-by-side split screen is the fucking worst. It was the worst invention ever.
Well, guys, remember GoldenEye, the four-way four-screen split screen?
Yeah, but it was cool because you didn't know any different.
Yeah, well, that's the best.
I mean, even now, four-way split screen would be better than the side-by-side, just because you're not constraining the picture. You're not smushing your picture into half of what you're used to. You're just making it smaller. You still get the same aspect ratio. Yeah, you still get the same proportion, the same aspect ratio. It's just smaller.
The worst, what I hate, is on like Halo, when you're playing three players and one person gets the whole top, the other two people get two little squares.
See, that's
annoying.
Yeah, that's one thing that I liked about Super Mario 64. If you had three players, it just blocked off that fourth block and showed the map. Everybody got the same size screen.
It did that on Star Fox too.
Speaking of Halo, Halo 443 was announced at the Microsoft press conference.
Tired of Halo. Will it just die?
I lost count. Which Halo, they call it Halo 4, but it's really like Halo, was it 7?
I think 7, because there was the three main storyline games, the one with all the letters made an acronym, I don't remember which one, Orbital Dropship Trooper official soundtrack, and then Halo Reach. So yeah, I guess this would be 6, plus the remake of the original Halo, so that's 7.
Yeah, whatever. It's Halo, and there's a bunch, and I'm tired of Halo.
Yep, I'm in the I don't give a shit boat.
Well, Microsoft also demoed its Kinect stuff, which Ben wrote a lovely review on.
A whole lot Kinect of Fun Labs stuff. The Kinect Fun Labs, just to go real quick, if you haven't read the article, it's neat, but it's old.
I love the Xbox. I fucking hate Kinect.
To be honest with you, I didn't really expect Microsoft's press conference this year to be anything spectacular. I mean,
you know what would be cool with the Kinect is if you could still play sitting down with your controller and then use your arms and shit to do like more complex things.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think a few games, I think they're using just parts of Kinect, like the voice recognition. I think Mass Effect they talked about, like, you could just speak
until you get a dickhead friend that comes in and says something else.
Yeah, then it wouldn't do
that'd be me.
But I mean, I don't know why they couldn't necessarily just do that with the headset already. But
whatever.
Yeah, certain, like, if it was just certain features of Kinect, like, you know, just raise your hand to tell your squad to stop following you or something. That yeah, could like, be cool, that could, I guess. Be cool. But yeah, I don't know. Kinect, I don't want to get on the same rant again and again.
Let's just
again
move on.
Kinect,
be safe. We don't need a sad new one.
Yeah, the Microsoft press conference was sort of blah because, let's face it, they owned E3 last year when they revealed the Kinect. So, I mean, they had their time in the spotlight.
One of the most interesting things I thought, which could as well be a WTF news, was a Sesame Street game by Double Fine Studios. So maybe it's just going to be like Metal Sesame Street or something. Yeah, Tim Schafer.
Like I said when you mentioned it before, when you said, I think it was you that said, "Oh, Tim Schafer, how the mighty have fallen." He's got to do something to make up for Brutal Legend because that game fucking sucked.
I liked Brutal Legend until it got to the half-assed fucking real-time strategy. And then
you mean after it got past what the demo was?
Yeah, pretty much.
After the bait and switch of that, because I bought the game based on the demo. Based on what the demo showed me, I was in love. I was like, yes, this is going to be awesome. I've been waiting for a Tim Schafer game, and this is going to be fucking amazing. I got it, and I got through where the demo was, and then it became that fucking bullshit half-assed real-time strategy with no warning whatsoever. So you got to drive from one end of the battlefield to the other end of the battlefield, and if you go just a little bit too far, it starts all over again, and it doesn't tell you, hey, you're about to start your fucking game over. No, it doesn't do that. It just lets you fucking drive out. Yeah, way to go, Double Fine Studio. Fuck you guys. You deserve to be making fucking Elmo games now for that shit. I'm sorry that
I love it. It kind of got away from me. It really makes my day.
Oh man, I was not planning on that at all. Oh, I forgot how much I hated that game.
Okay, obviously we can't cover all the games that were revealed at E3. I mean, Uncharted, BioShock, Street Fighter vs. Tekken or X Tekken.
What's that one? What's the MMO? No, not MMO. It's like an MMO, but it's just by yourself.
Elder
Scrolls. Elder Scrolls. That's one thing.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, Eve Online with its Dust 514 thing. I mean, so much. Yeah,
there were a lot of people talking about Skyrim. A lot of people.
Yeah, I know a couple of my friends are like totally jizzing themselves over it. So
it looks kind of neat, I guess. But we can talk about Battlefield 3. Because
shit on that.
Battlefield was one of the things that stole the show at E3, along with Uncharted and these other games, for pretty much because it was just amazing. But here's the latest news that broke out. I think today or last night.
I think it was today, actually.
Was today?
Last night, but very recently.
recently. Turns out that if you were expecting to get the full game experience out of Battlefield 3 with all the guns, all the goodies, not so much. Turns out what they're doing is they're taking a lot of these, you know, guns and weapons and things out of the game and making them pre-order DLC specific to where you buy the game from instead of keeping them in the game.
Okay, now tell me, because I really don't give a shit about any of the Battlefield games, who produces this?
I believe it's DICE, yeah. And then it's being put out by EA, masters of the microtransaction.
Ah, yes, EA, second only to Activision in the fuck over your users category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this one, they're coming out with something called the Physical Warfare Pack. And it's exclusive down pre-order only at Game and GameStation in the UK. And in this special physical warfare pack, you get the Type 88 light machine gun, the DA-012 shotgun, the Flechette shotgun ammo, a flash suppressor, and Back to Karkand expansion pack.
Now, I kind of see where they're going with this. Because they're kind of making it so that the people in the UK get UK specific weapons, people in the United States get like the US specific weapons. But at the same time, that's kind of a dick move, guys.
Okay, but as far as I understand this, this isn't extra content that they decided to make.
Right, right.
No,
this
no,
is content
no,
that was ripped from the game that was
and
done.
The 12 shotgun are some of the most popular weapons in Battlefield 2, in Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah, and this was stuff that was already supposed to be in the game, and they decided, you know what, we can make more money if we charge for this.
Which is exactly why I said...
Well, no, they're not charging more money. They're just only throwing it in. All this content is available. No extra charge to gamers who pre-order the limited edition at these two stores.
Yeah, you have to pre-order in that area, and those are the only people that can get it, right?
Yeah.
So they're not going to release it later as downloadable content like they did with when they said, hey, if you buy, what was it? Hold on, let me turn around and look at my game rack. Soul Calibur. When you buy Soul Calibur 4 on the Xbox, you get Yoda. When you buy Soul Calibur 4 on the PS3, you get Darth Vader. And that's the only way to get them. And then, you know, like 6 months later, they put them out for DLC for the opposite console.
They haven't announced that they're doing that yet. Right now, you can only get them if you pre-order from Game or GameStation in the UK.
This is the thing, though. I hate retailer specific DLC, because
I'm not going to go to these special store to get a game that I'm just going to play on my computer.
Exactly. And it's kind of one thing when it's just a very minor, like with Portal 2, it was skins for the multiplayer robots, like whatever, it doesn't change anything, but it kind of annoys me that if I want it, I have to get it from GameStop and I have to pre-order it. I can't just buy it like 3 days after it comes out.
Okay, look, I'm gonna give you guys a little veto pro tip here. Make friends with your local GameStop employees. The reason you want to make friends with these people is because not only do they work in retail, which means they hate their fucking jobs, they work in retail for what is probably one of the worst places to work in retail, because they give you ridiculous quotas that you have to meet all the time, right? But what they'll do is they end up with a lot of extra shit, and that just gets put into a drawer behind the counter. So what you do is, you know, every couple of weeks you go in, you talk to your buddy, and like, hey, man, what you got in the goodie drawer? And I've got all kinds of shit all over my house. Like, I've got a Borderlands T-shirt that with the claptrap, all the little claptrap icons on it. I've got that. It says, welcome to Pandora on the front. I've got all these little toys that were pre-order exclusives. I had a bunch of beta invitation codes for League of Legends when that first came out. You don't have to pre-order any of that shit. Just make friends with a GameStop employee. They'll give you the fucking little pre-order cards.
That poses a problem for us Forever Alone people.
Yeah, we don't have friends.
We have to go out of the house.
All right, here's the thing, though. Just the whole principle of this retailer-specific DLC is it's one thing when it's, like, stupid shit that doesn't matter. It's another thing completely when it's something that changes, like, the game. Like, if it's a whole yeah. character or a gun in this case, I remember for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, the only way to get Juggernaut, I believe it was to pre-order from GameStop. Otherwise, you can't play as Juggernaut at all, ever. And it could be alleviated if they at least kind of like, well, if you pre-order from GameStop, you get it free right away, and if not, you can give us $1, you know, next month, and then you can have Juggernaut. But no, they don't even do shit like that. It's like, oh, if you didn't pre-order, you're fucked forever.
Too well, bad. And one of the things, the DAO-12 shotgun, you get day one access. And normally in Battlefield games, you have to, you know, level up to get access to certain weapons. And just fucking let people level up. They don't need it the first day. If they're good, they'll get it in the first day. Don't throw it at them.
Agreed. All right. Unfortunately, we got to skip straight to WTF news because this topic list, I mean, we've already been going at this for an hour.
Dude, we can talk about tech, but I think this proves that you get us talking about games, and that's where we're all really passionate.
No, we were down 50-50. We spent a good, like, half an hour, 35 minutes on Apple. I mean, the big news of the week was a lot of fucking news.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay. We'll go straight to WTF news, and we'll probably do write-ups for the rest of stuff on the website. So keep your eyes posted on that. But WTF news.
What the fuck? Oh, my brother was here last week, and I let him listen to the show after we recorded. And it's kind of funny because for the rest of the week, at random intervals, I would hear him humming the What the Fuck News song.
Nice.
All right. First up, WTF news. Wow. Criminal gets plastic surgery to look like a woman, still gets caught by the police.
That's money well spent.
Is there a picture of this guy that now is a woman?
There's a picture of him as a woman.
The article, yes. And the thing is, if you read the article, he was trying to evade police for having basically embezzled 2 million pesos, which is like $75. no, it's actually about... I think if I looked it up earlier, it was like $150,000, something like that. It wasn't very much. And I don't know how much it costs to get a sex change operation, but a quick Google search was giving me a quote somewhere around like $20,000. So the, you know, cost benefit analysis seemed not exactly wise.
Two million Mexican pesos are about $168,000.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money.
To embezzle, anyway. I mean, come on. If you're going to do it, go all out.
Caught anyways.
It's a nice yearly salary.
It is. But if you're being a criminal and embezzling stuff, I mean, go for the gold, man.
Well, he got the boobs, he got the hair, he got all that good stuff. But officials declined to say whether he had a sex change operation or if the surgery was just to change his appearance.
So he might still have a penis.
There's a possibility. Which, if he gets sent to a woman's prison, might be a good thing.
Maybe he was going to take that embezzled money and start a lucrative business in tranny porn.
He just looks sad in his mugshot.
The question, where do you send this guy to prison? does he go to women's prison or do you go to man prison?
Maybe they'll reverse the procedure.
Because he clearly isn't a lady, but he clearly looks like a lady.
How do you reverse that procedure? Like some super glue or staple
gun?
You
just chop the tits off.
No, I mean putting the dong back on.
We're not sure if he got it taken off in the first place.
I have no idea how he was captured. I guess they like look at him and he's like, no, I'm a woman. And I don't know.
He entered the wrong bathroom. He forgot.
Fuck! This was my undoing. I knew I should have sat when I peed.
Wait, you don't sit when you pee?
No, Vito.
Dude.
No.
Next up in WTF news.
What the fuck?
Okay. Question, Vito.
This is just beyond words, quite frankly.
Would you ever... Okay, no, I gotta read this. Okay, turns out this lady... this lady... Yovanda Benefield of somewhere in the U.S. or Jersey.
Isn't Newport by... News, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia? Okay. Yeah, that place. She apparently she pulled into a gas station, I think, or a Quickie Mart or something like that with her children. She was trying to get to North Carolina, and I guess she walked into the Shell gas station and bought a pack of cigarettes. Asked to use a phone so she could call someone to give her a ride to North Carolina. Benefield, a clerk at the gas station, said she could give the woman a ride to North Carolina when she got off work, and asked Pennell, the other woman, who she did not know, to watch her two children until she was finished with her shift. So I guess she went to work, left the children with a stranger at the gas station, was a clerk at the gas station, and... the clerk took the kids and drove off to North Carolina.
What the fuck?
Somebody that she had never met before, didn't even know. The clerk said she did not know the woman, doesn't know her name.
But here, take my kids. And I think her car, if I remember correctly.
So she just let her borrow everything.
I have the story backwards. I think the mother worked at the gas station. Or I don't know, I forgot what you said. But anyways, the story basically, long story short, woman gave her kids to a stranger, and surprise, stranger disappeared. Why? I don't know. This it just boggles my mind, some people.
Well,
keep your kids, man. I mean, I guess if you really don't want them.
Well, I mean, what's the going rate for a healthy child on the black market? Yeah, pretty penny.
On the black market or the white market? Because they're different prices.
You're going to be racist.
Thanks to Gwen Venn of the Newport News. She says, it doesn't sound normal to me. That's just crazy. Thank you, news reporter.
Understatement.
There's a lot of questions with this story. Why does this lady have her kids when she's going to work? Was she just going to let them hang out in the convenience store?
Yeah, what was she going to do with them otherwise?
She was like, oh, this is a gift from God that this lady showed up and offered to watch my children. I've never seen her before, but I'm sure she's great with kids.
Sounds legit.
Going to the other side of the country now to Washington. Okay. Police say a man was carrying a dead weasel when he burst into an apartment and assaulted a man in Washington State.
Now, did he assault him with fists or with the weasel?
Well, the article says it punched him in the nose. So I think
he was just hanging out with his dead weasel.
But wait, this is the best part of the article, though. So, police say a man was carrying a dead weasel when he burst into an apartment and assaulted a man in Washington State. The victim asked, why are you carrying a weasel? Police said the attacker answered, it's not a weasel, it's a marten, and then punched him in the face.
And ran away.
So and he decided to get all pedantic about it. It's like, it's not a weasel, all right, it's a marten. Oh, and then the closing line of the article, a marten is a member of the weasel family.
This so guy's really up to snuff on his weasel families.
I guess he's just like a really militant biologist.
He left the carcass behind. He left it behind, and then police later found the man arguing with his girlfriend in another location and arrested him. He said he had found the Barton dead, but police didn't know why he carried it with him.
It doesn't say in the article, but it's pretty easy to assume alcohol was involved somewhere.
Yeah, why are you carrying around a dead rodent?
Why not?
Was he trying to recreate the whole Godfather thing rodent? With the horse head?
A weasel's a rodent, right?
Is it a rodent or a polecat?
I don't know. But I do know
I am not a weasel, militant biologist, sir. I don't know these things. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a weasel and a marten.
And that's why you're going to get punched in the face.
That's probably why I punched him in the face. You're right.
Let's see. They are members of the Carnivora order, which are predatory meat-eating animals.
That tells me a lot.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. Indiana now. God, I hate Indiana. Anyway, it's senior prank season, or it just ended, I guess. For one young 18-year-old who was days away from graduation, it didn't go so well when he found himself facing a prison sentence of up to 8 years for his senior prank. Senior prank involved him putting a blow-up doll in the bathroom at his high school.
You know,
I don't get it.
The high school, they saw the cameras and they assumed that it was a dangerous device, a bomb, because they saw a kid with a hood wearing latex gloves entering a woman's bathroom and carrying a suspicious package. So they ended up calling in the police and the bomb squad to the school.
Look, you know, this is where people need to hire me to just be skeptical about anything with a bomb in it. So I'll go in there and I'll look and I'll be like, this isn't a bomb.
And then sooner or later, you'll die.
Hey, you know what? I'm willing to take that risk. Because I'm tired of seeing dumbasses jump to conclusions about, this could be a bomb. It could blow up.
I'm it was tired a blow-up doll.
Wasting all this money.
It was a blow-up doll, and he could face 8 years in prison. As
For
they
a
say,
fucking blow-up doll?
As they said, they're blowing it out of proportion. Haha.
Hey-o.
But it turns out that bringing a gun to school is a 3-year sentence.
Yeah, that's the,
they're really just mad because they had to pay thing. $8,000 to get the bomb squad to come in because they couldn't go in and look for themselves.
Well, you never know, if it was a bomb, it would have left a gaping hole in the girl's bathroom.
I mean, I understand the need for caution.
Gaping hole.
But at
instead
the same
of him
time,
putting the gaping
just...
hole in there.
Oh.
Sorry. I had to make that joke before it became stale.
I mean, I think he should have gone around it and, like, set the blow-up doll, like, made it go into the bathroom, you know, like, already inflated, and they could have just peeked in and been like, oh, look, it's a sex toy.
Full of napalm. And then he gets the last laugh.
All right, last WTF news story. We're no Florida news tonight, by the way.
I bet Murray Mac's excited.
You got lucky today. What happened?
They were shockingly tame this week. But we're going to Spain, other side of the world, Madrid. Turns out a flight from Madrid to Frankfurt was actually forced to turn around and land because a German passenger decided to strip naked on the flight and refused to be cooperative and put his clothes back on.
Oh, those Germans.
Staff on board tried to dissuade him, but he became aggressive and finally locked himself in the toilet. The pilot decided to turn around and land in Madrid, where the police came on board and took him away.
I would just, if he's locked himself in the bathroom on the plane, just keep going.
Yeah, he may as well.
He's locked away.
The schnitzel
is
secured.
The door with one of those carts, you know, and he's not going to get out.
Nobody has any idea why the man decided to do what he did.
It's probably a PCD, man. That shit makes you get naked.
It feels good, man. He just wanted to be nude. Natural.
I know a guy that would try and get naked every time he got drunk. That was interesting.
That's awkward.
He got drunk once at the end of a field op, and we were in a convoy formation getting ready to go back home a couple days later. He got naked and was running around in between everybody's convoy. we had to chase him down.
Quite a show there.
Yeah, one of the officers ran past and said, "Duh, it must be cold out here," pointing at his wiener. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for helping us catch him.
I mean, look, I understand this guy's being unruly and in the nude, but if he's locked himself away, just don't interrupt everyone else's plans on the account of this one guy. Just keep going.
What if he like jumped out of the bathroom like mid-flight with like a toilet paper crown? And, you know, just shit everywhere in the bathroom. I don't know.
Well, you know, then you have a great story to tell your kids later. That's what life is. It's a collection of stories. If you get from birth to death and you don't have any awesome stories to tell anybody, you fucking wasted your life, man.
The meaning of life is to always have a great story.
Unfortunately, our stories are coming to an end tonight as we must wrap this up. We'd like to thank everybody who tuned in tonight in the live Ustream and submitted your comments, etc. Helped us with some corrections. Appreciate it as always. Of course, you could always listen to us every Sunday at 8 Eastern live, or then you could download us when we go on iTunes and our other download links, etc. On Monday. So on
tonight's episode, because if it wasn't for you guys, we'd just be talking to ourselves. I mean, we do that anyway, but
now it gives us purpose.
And my segue was awesome, by the way. People who were saying they might have been lame. On tonight's episode, we had Gonzo Ryder.
Thanks to Renzo for the nice stogie.
Penguin.
I don't have anything clever to say, so it's been fun.
Yay. Vito number 9.
Ben stole my thing.
You weren't supposed to tell anyone about that, Vito.
I was going to say, I don't have anything clever to say, but you said that, so I'm kind of stuck.
Oh, I thought you stole something else.
No, that's still firmly attached. And
I didn't steal it. I just borrow it every so often.
You shouldn't chop your body off.
And he gives it back in better condition than when I gave it to him, so...
Ooh, okay. Don't forget about our Photoshop contest that's going on. Check out our website for our latest Photoshop contest, where you might be able to win a prize this time. So you'll get glory and good stuff. Check that out on our website. Be sure to check it out. And of course, check out our other posts. TheNoiseCast.com is where you go for that. Send us your comments, emails, tweet at us at twitter.com/noisecast. Give us your banter. We love reading your stuff. And that's it. Thanks for listening. This was the Noisecast.
Woo!
Peace.